And once again, Will Johnson walking his steps off, and the Vikings break the huddle. Tom Morgan, the near gunner. And Will approaches the ball, and we are underway. Boots it deep. Ball's going to be caught on the fly at about the 8-yard line. And don't see who the deep man is. That's number 13 for this team, but brought down by Caleb Gray. And a couple players jumping on top, like the ball may have come out, but the ref is going to call that one down. And kind of lost his footing there on the first step of that return, and that's going to be a big thing this evening as it's rained a little bit out here, Caleb.
Yeah, I remember growing up playing, you know just as well as I do, Ryan, playing on this field in Douglas. It can get a little muddy, can get a little slippery on these rainy days. Good thing for both Douglas and the Vikings. It didn't pour down there.
No, it did not, and luckily there hasn't been a bunch of rain leading up to this one. As the season goes on, it's definitely going to be wetter and wetter, but it's going to be Sawyer out of the gun, one back in the backfield with him to his left. He's going to turn, hand it up the middle, and he's going to keep it around the left side himself and brought down with a shoestring tackle. I believe that was Will Johnson on the tackle right there. And good job by Will there grabbing his shoelaces because he has to get a lot of space out in front of him.
Yeah, and that's going to be a big boy to tackle today, the quarterback. Ryder Sawyer, 6'2", 190. Wow.
And their numbers are a little bit hard to read, so we'll be deciphering the positions players here as we go. But Sawyer's going to be out of the gun, one back in the backfield with him to the left. He's going to go ahead and hand it to him this time and upend it on that one. That was Jackson Chang with the tackle combined with someone who doesn't have a number on my roster. That's always great. I always think I have an upgraded or updated roster. Last week it was... Oh, you know why? Oh, my goodness. Sorry, on that one was Skyler Wiley, the junior defensive lineman there.
Douglas did get the first down there, but good job by the defensive line getting there and holding them to a minimal gain.
And that's going to bring up first and 10, though, as they got just enough to get the six, and Ryder Sawyer's going to be looking to pass. Got a receiver down the right side, just overthrows Nalro Driscoll, one of the key players that we talked about limiting, and he had the deep ball there and just wasn't able to connect with Ryder Sawyer.
Looked like a little bit of miscommunication between the safety and corner there. He had plenty of room to run after that catch. Roughly was overthrown.
Yeah, not sure. It kind of looked like they were in a cover three there and then just kind of busted over the top and was unable to connect with Sawyer. So the Vikings take a deep sigh there of relief. And Sawyer's going to be out of the gun. Big back in the backfield. Can't read his number yet with our angle here, but he's going to go ahead and get the snap. He's going to hand it to him up the left side, breaking tackles. Couple people missing. Three people missing. Looking like Cameron Scataboo for the New York Giants out there as he just rumbles his way for a first down. That's going to be first and 10 from about the, can't see what yard marker that is.
Yeah, definitely. It looks like the Vikings had him kind of bottled up in the 3-yard gain. It looks like the second there, he just kept putting his head down and getting more yards there.
And that's a 45-yard line, still in Douglas territory. We're kind of low here, though we're in a booth. Not the highest of angles on the field here, but Sawyer and the Trojans break the huddle. We got 10 minutes and 15 seconds left in this first quarter. Douglas getting a drive going here, the first of the evening. And Sawyer sends his back in motion, sends Nalo Driscoll in motion as well. He's going to hand it to the back again and brought down after about a gain of, we'll give him one on that one, is, I believe that's number 33. You can't really read these things out here. And Jaden Burkhart, we'll call it, the junior running back. He's well built, Caleb.
Very, very well, but kind of reminds me of a Kenny Wall kind of build, you know?
Yeah, that was my first thought as well. A little bit taller than Kenneth was, but just as meaty. And Sawyer's going to be out of the gun here. And he's looking to pass. He's got a receiver down the right side, and he decides just to dump it off in the flat. That's going to be the running back, number 33, knocked out of bounds. They're going to mark him just short of a first down, and on that reception was number 33, Jaden Burkhart, once again working out of the backfield.
Yeah, Sawyer looked like he was trying to get that man on the streak route once again, and Sawyer kind of had to follow it up on defense, and he kind of just dumped it off to his running back there.
And they're going to go ahead and give him a first down. It looked like they were going to mark him about a yard short, kind of just gave him an extra yard there after the spot was initially given, but nonetheless, it's a first and 10 for the Trojans. Ryder Sawyer out of the gun. He's going to turn, fake the handoff, keep it himself up the left side. He's got good blocking out in front of him. and brought down after about a gain of, I think they're going to give him about 8 there. And second and two for the Trojans. And again, we talked about it pregame. That's a quarterback that can get it done through the air and with his feet. He's making his feet felt early in this one.
Yeah, I thought Uso's going to have the work for them on the defensive line tonight.
And that they are. It's going to be Sawyer out of the gun again. Impossible numbers to read, but he's going to turn hand it. That's going to be up the middle to Burkhart. Once again, that's going to be enough and more for a first down. And he's going to pick up about 7 yards. Burkhart's a big kid.
Yeah, about that Ryder Sawyer combo with Burkhart is making the Sayusaw defense really work right now. It's basically just the two of them kind of going at it, the Sayusaw defense.
And that's going to be spotted on the 30-yard line in Sayusaw territory. Sayusaw backing up as the Trojans are mounting a good drive here on their opening drive of the evening. 8 minutes and 20 seconds left here in the first quarter. Sawyer and the Trojans moving the ball well. And he's got Burkhart in the backfield with him. 2 receivers to the near side, 2 to the far side. Looking to pass, steps up in the pocket. Got a clean pocket. He's got a receiver over the top. That's intercepted. Just overthrown. Tom Morgan taking it down the near side. He's got a pocket out in front of the Stoopster. He's gone. My goodness, what a shift here. In Winston, Oregon is Tom Morgan, the 100 and 200 meter state champ, makes the speed felt. And they're going to throw a flag from about 50 yards away.
It looked like a little celebration by Tom Morgan. They kind of did the little move when you finish across the finish line there. And
yeah, completely unnecessary as he didn't have a Trojan for about 20 yards and stopped at about the 5-yard line and kind of walked in and finished like over the goal line like he was a sprinter looking for a gold medal. And wasn't crossing the goal line at full speed, but he was down the near sideline. That's going to go down. I think he caught that at around the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
Didn't see who the intended receiver was. Ryder Sawyer threw a prayer kind of between two receivers, and Tom Morgan made it his presence felt.
Just overthrew his receiver again.
I'd love to look at the stats, but I think Tom Morgan has an interception each week this season, and still waiting from the signal for the rest. Should be pretty apparent as to what it was. But Sayusaw goes out and gets a defensive touchdown to start this evening off. 7 minutes and 53 seconds left in the first quarter. 6-0 is the score. And the offense takes the field for a two-point conversion as Jericho Lake's going to be under center. It's going to be Will Johnson and Jackson Chang in the backfield. Tom Morgan on the near side. And kind of looking over at the sideline, standing up is Jericho Lake. And gets back under center. Both backs take their position. He's going to turn it up, hand it up the gut to Will Johnson, and they're going to call that thing short. So decided to wave off the flag, which was kind of a shocker to me, as it was pretty obvious that there was a little bit of an excessive celebration prior to the score. But either way, Sayusaw doesn't convert the two-point conversion. Sayusaw out in front, 6-0 here with 7 minutes and 53 seconds left. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break and be back here on Coast Radio Sports.
Supporting businesses like Grocery Outlet Florence and Chad E. Clement, DDS, help us bring you every exciting minute on Coast Radio.
We are back at Douglas High School. The Trojans had a great, I think they declined it, weirdly enough, not sure why. And there they go. Not sure why it took so long. The referees go ahead and march that thing back 15 yards. And Caleb Paredes, you were correct during the break. It was marched off from the kickoff. So my mistake there. But Sayusaw went out, took a pick six back for about 90 yards. Tom Morgan, the stud senior speedster, with about a 90-yard pick six to put the Vikings out in front. 6-0 with 7 minutes and 53 seconds left here in the first quarter.
And what a shift of momentum. I mean, they were marching the ball down the field. They're already on their board on the 40, and just a overthrown ball. It's 4-6 for the Vikings.
And the ball spotted at the 25-yard line. Will Johnson boots this one deep, and it's caught on the fly. It's going to be returned. Good blocking out in front. Vikings flipping all over the field and stuck in the open field. I believe that was the senior, Jacob Mann.
That's just what you call form tackling right there.
And on the return was number 13, Caden Marsh for the Trojans, and he had great blocking out in front of him and went back to the middle of the field, and all of a sudden Jacob Mann is in his grill just sticking him.
Yeah, those never feel good. Those kind of tackles on you never feel great. And it was a good return nonetheless, especially with the 15 yards of field position granted to them. So it's going to be spotted on about the 41-yard line. And out of the gun, they take it, snap it, hand it up the middle. And breaking out of a shoestring tackle is Burkhart, and he is tough to bring down.
Yeah, 5'10", 185 pounds for the running back there. It's not going to be easy to bring him down on the ground.
And the Vikings have not been very successful if it's just one player trying to make a tackle. As he lowers the shoulder well and takes a couple of Vikings to bring him down. So that's going to bring up about a second and four. Second and four, we'll call it. Ball spotted on the 48-yard line. And out of the gun is Ryder Sawyer. One receiver to the near side, two to the far side. He's going to hand it up the middle again. That's going to be Burkhart. Stuck at the line of scrimmage, but just fighting for extra yards. And kind of looks like he took the ball and just kind of swung at a Viking there trying to make a tackle. And good group tackling here.
Great. Like we talked about earlier, you pick up your brothers. That one guy gets in there and he slips through, and then you just have reinforcements keep coming in, get that guy on the ground.
And the Vikings hit him at the line of scrimmage. He broke that tackle, tried bouncing it out to the near side here, and a couple of Vikings stood there and waited for him. So it's going to bring up a third and three, and Sawyer's going to be out of the gun again. One receiver to the near side, one receiver kind of in a wing T formation to the far side, one split out wide. He's going to turn, hand it. No, keep it up himself to the left side. He's got the first down and more, and is brought down. That was Caleb Gray with the tackle, kind of slung him over his shoulder with a belly-to-back move. And that's going to be enough for a Trojans first down.
I mean, we're talking about how hard it is to bring down Burkhart. I mean, Sawyer's just as hard to bring down.
Yeah, and he's big. He's got some big legs on him. He's done a good job of churning them for extra yards here. And they've gotten one pass play to work through the air so far. Other than that, one for two so far for Ryder Sawyer. And ball spotted at about the 43-yard line for the Trojans. Sawyer in the gun again. He's going to turn, fake the hand. No, he's going to hand it. And that's going to be Burkhart breaking a couple of tackles once again.
Hey, man.
That's a tough running back.
And you would believe the Vikings probably watched a lot of his film this week, and they're like, this is not going to be an easy guy to bring down.
Definitely should have made crack the top three players to keep an eye on this evening. In my opinion, he's made his presence felt this evening early.
You're seeing those white jerseys already getting all dirty.
And second and two, ball spotted on about the 35-yard line. We got a stoppage here. And looks like it was going to be a timeout. Just taking a second here. Oh,
I think he's checking on 78, which is
Colin Barnett. Referee sees something about his pants that he sends him off for. Not entirely sure, but checking in for him is going to be Jake Rose. And he's coming in at that interior D-line position. Clean jersey here for Jacob Rose, but that's not going to last long. And Sawyer's out of the gun again. He's going to turn, hand it up the gut again, and that's going to be Burkhart. Breaks it, spins out of a tackle, and is brought down by a few Vikings. And if you're not tackling him with a couple of Vikings or more, you're not going to have much success bringing him down. But that's going to be just enough for a first down as that ball spotted at that marker.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably already got 10 broken tackles in this first game. You're not bringing him down in first contact, just like you said, Ryan. You need at least two or three. Just the best thing there is to hold him, but you can get those other guys in to bring him down forward.
And 6-0 is the score. Vikings out front after an interception, taken back for a touchdown. 5 minutes left on the clock, first and 10 for the Trojans. And Sawyer's out of the gun. He's going to turn, hand it off up the gut again. They're going to just stick with Burkhart here as he's just fighting for yards. And he's going to gain enough for a first down. As they say, it was just exactly a 10-yard gain. Never mind, the chains move an extra yard or two here. So first and 10, Trojans once again knocking on the door.
Definitely making that front four and defensive line work tonight.
Yeah, they are. Colin Barnett checks back in for the Vikings. And Sawyer's going to be out of the gun. One receiver to the near side, one in tight at the tight end position, two out to the far side. We got a blown dead. Vikings going to go ahead and take a break here. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break here ourselves and be back here on Coast Radio Sports.
Our thanks to Alan Twombly of H&R Block and RE/MAX South Coast Real Estate for supporting Viking Sports on Coast Radio.
Welcome back to Roseburg High School, or Roseburg Douglas High School here in Winston, Oregon. A little bit mixed up here as we're trying to watch the Mariners game between our breaks here as they are in game five right now. But nonetheless, we're going to stick and focus, keep our focus here. Trojans driving 4 minutes and 4.5 minutes left in the first quarter. Trojans knocking on the door, ball spotted on about the 20-yard line for them. Story's going to be out of the gun as they take the field quickly. He's going to turn, hand it once again. That's Burkhart breaking through two tackles, make it three, and gets a full head of steam there. It was Jacob Mann and who was that? Jacob Mann and Jackson Chang were the first Vikings there, and he just went right through both of them.
I don't know like why I went through the ball in that last drive.
I think they're starting to figure this out, that out there, as Burkhart's been the workhorse here through the last few plays. And ball's now spotted on the 10-yard line, as that was just enough to get a first down, about the 9-yard line now. So first and goal from the 9 for the Trojans. Sawyer is going to turn. He's going to look to keep it himself, and the Vikings bring him down after a short gain of about 1, maybe 2 yards there. So second and goal.
Good job on the defense right there for the line, reading that, finding the ball, seeing that Sawyer had the ball.
The defensive line probably was pretty excited when they didn't see Burkhart barreling towards them there, as he's just bruised them all evening so far, and we're only just starting this game out. And Trojans go ahead, get the ball spotted on, we'll call it the 7, maybe 8-yard line. Sawyer's going to be out of the gun, two receivers to the near side, Burkhart in the backfield with him, and he's going to turn, he's going to hand it off to him once again, and just barreling into the end zone, upended as he flies in, but nonetheless, it's 6-4 the Trojans as they strike back here quickly. Sawyer puts the ball in Burkhart's hands for 6. That's going to even the score here. 3 minutes and 21 seconds left in the first quarter.
Burkhart did a great job there, just finding his blockers and finding the open running lane there and getting in.
And most plays, he's breaking tackles for a yard. That time pretty much went untouched until the goal line, where Will Johnson tried his best, but just a little bit too little too late. And on to kick their PAT now is the Trojans. Good snap, good hold. They're going to go ahead and blow this one dead. Kicker on that one was number 1, Landon Perez, the senior wide receiver. And flag was thrown, no call yet. And still waiting for something here. And the Vikings were offsides on that one. Jumped a little bit too early. So they're going to go ahead. Now it's decision time. If you're the Trojans, do you go for 2 here? Or do you just stick with your PAT? And the Mariners just scored. This is, if you know the Mariners, this is their biggest game since 2001. So it's been a minute since they've been back here. And speaking of one, it's going to be Landon Perez staying on for the Trojans to kick a PAT here. And good snap, good hold. Perez kicks it. It is up and good. The Trojans go ahead and take the lead here in Winston, Oregon, 7-6. 3 minutes and 21 seconds left in the first quarter. We're going to go ahead and take a break and be back to see the Vikings offense in action for the first time this evening.
Viking Sports on Coast Radio, supported by Regency Florence and Three Rivers Casino Resort.
Welcome back to Douglas High School. Got to give a big shout out to their marching band here, as they have everybody's foot in the booth rocking, and the cheer team doing a great job alongside with them. And the Trojans went on and put together a really good drive there on the back of Burkhart, as he just barreled his way, pretty much
barreled his way
all the way to the end zone. It was about a 10-play drive, but it was all on the back of Burkhart there, and he's got to be huffing and puffing there on the sideline. But the Vikings offense looking to take over here for the first time this evening. And you may say, 7-6, what happened? How was the offense out there for the first time? Well, Tom Morgan had about a 90-yard interception that he brought back to the house. And on the kick once again for the Trojans is going to be Landon Perez, the senior, blocking his steps off here. And back deep to return for the Vikings. Not sure who that is. Vikings lined up in a completely different formation here, as they just must be pooch kicking it here, as Will Johnson's in the second line. And that is exactly what they do. Will Johnson calling for a fair catch, bobbles it.
Oh, goodness.
Bobbles the ball on the fair catch, regains it, and about 3 yards away, a Trojan comes in, must have thought he didn't catch it cleanly, and teed off on Will Johnson, who was just standing there. So that's going to be a free 15 yards tacked on to this field position here for the Vikings.
Yeah, you got to, I mean, even if he doesn't, I think he still has a chance to bobble until he comes to a full possession.
He does.
You can't touch him.
And you're right. Yeah, you don't. You can see something like that, and it can be pretty egregious and look mean. You can't blame the Trojan player there for trying to jar that one free, as Will Johnson didn't catch it cleanly. So really not a hard foul. It just looks hard when Will Johnson's just standing there. And they're going to go ahead and march this thing off. So Vikings get the ball spotted on.
Looks like the 50.
They only gave him
about 10 yards, I think.
They only gave him about 10 yards on that, which should be an additional 5, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, okay. And looks like they did move it up 15. I just had a wrong spot here. And Jericho Lake's going to be out of the gun. Jackson Chang in motion. They're going to go ahead and blow this thing dead. Vikings go ahead with a false start on their first play offensively.
A lot of flack so far, huh?
Yeah, and big shout-out to the grounds crew there at Hans-Peterson Field. The numbers are even. They're smooth. You can read them well. And not a knock against the Trojans team, is this grass is nice and green, but paint can be a little bit hard to see from our angle here.
I've definitely seen this field in worse conditions.
Oh,
back in the day.
It was about as hard as concrete back when we played here.
One of the first things I said to Ryan was like, wow, the field actually looks pretty nice and green today.
And Jericho Lake's going to be out of the gun. In the backfield with him is going to be Jackson Chang lined up to his right, bunch formation to the near side. And Tom Morgan goes in formation, sweep out to Tom Morgan. He's got the edge, looking for more, but the Trojans do a good job after about a gain of 2, maybe 3, as Jericho Lake had a fly sweep around to the outside, just didn't have the ability to hit the edge there.
Those are always tough plays because either the defense commits to it or they don't. It looks like right there they made the right choice.
And that's going to be a 2nd and 12 here as Morgan gained about 3 on that first down play. 2 minutes and 50 seconds left here in the first quarter. Vikings on offense for the first time this evening. Score is 7-6 with the Trojans out in front. Jericho Lake's going to be out of the gun. Chang in the backfield with him. Bunch formation in the near side once again. And one receiver lined up to the far side. And Lake calls for the snap, gets it. He's looking to roll to his left, slips, but regains his feet. He's got a receiver over the top. That's Tom Morgan. Tom Morgan hit in stride. What a throw. The sophomore quarterback coming out and just slinging the ball early to Tom Morgan there. That was about a gain of 25, maybe 30 there. Still kind of relearning where the 50-yard line is here because you can't see the numbers right now from where we sit, but either way, the Vikings get a really good play there on 2nd and 12 with the sophomore quarterback slipping and regathering his feet and all of a sudden finding an open Tom Morgan. And it's going to be bunch formation again for the Vikings. In the backfield this time is going to be Johnson, though. And Lake's going to turn it and hand it off to Johnson up the left side. Got blocking. Patient run out of Johnson. He barrels his way down to the goal line. Knocked out of bounds. At about the 2 or 3 yard line, Johnson was really patient on that run as he ran into the back end of one of his offensive linemen and kind of just stiff-armed the rear end of him and busted it out to the left side for a good game.
That was a strong, hard-fought run there for Will, getting those extra yards that you think he may not get. And towards the end, he just puts his head down and fights on to get to the 2 yard line.
And like Burkhart, Will Johnson's never going to shy away from contact. He just doesn't have the size that Burkhart does, but he's got a little bit more speed. And that's not too uncommon, though. And it's going to be Lake under center this time. We've seen the Vikings do this when they get down to the 2 or 3 yard line rather than going out of the spread a little bit. So Lake's going to be under center. Will Johnson and Jackson Chang in the backfield with him. He's going to turn, hand it up the gut. That's going to be Will Johnson, and the Vikings offense gets a good push up front, but it's just going to be short. They're going to spot him. Looks like the ref's walking on the goal line, but they're going to say short as he sidesteps to his right. Vikings driving from our right to left, and they're going to spot him about a foot short of that goal line, so it's going to bring up a 2nd and goal after Will Johnson is stopped just short. 1.5 minutes left here in the first quarter. Vikings trailing 7-6, looking to change that here. Jericho Lake's going to be under center once again. Caleb Gray is the tight end to the near side. Bryce Franzoni to the far side with Tom Morgan to his right. two backs in the backfield. Lynch just going to keep it himself and pretty much goes untouched on the keeper. Touchdown Vikings as they regain the lead 7-12 here. And knowing Coach Sam Johnson, I wouldn't be surprised if the offense stays out there and they just decide to go for two.
You got to love seeing those kind of drives. Jericho Lake made probably one of the best throws I've seen in high school football in a long time. And then Will Johnson with the power running, Tom Morgan getting it on both sides of the ball, and then Jericho Lake pounding it in for 2 yards for that touchdown.
Yeah, good recap there, Caleb. That's exactly what happened. Jericho Lake, great strike on that 2nd and 12, and they are going to go ahead and go for two here. I thought that was what Coach Jackson Johnson was signaling to me when he stood up, put up the two fingers, but he's saying the Mariners are even at two. So everybody's a little focused on that. Vikings, though, looking for a two-point conversion. Jericho Lake's going to be out of this gun. Got a receiver to his right, and that is Will Johnson wide open. And Will Johnson falls, just kind of slips there. But the Vikings, either way, converting on that two-point conversion. They are now ahead of the Douglas Trojans 14-7 after a great drive on offense for the Vikings, their first of the evening. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break here, though, and be back here after this on Coast Radio Sports.
Viking Sports on Coast Radio, supported by Folio Logging Incorporated and BJ's Ice Cream.
We are back at Douglas High School as the Trojans are taking on the Vikings this evening. Vikings now out in front after that great offensive drive by the Vikings offense. Their first of the evening, 14-7 is the lead here. And a minute and 12 seconds left in the first quarter. And Trojans on to return, back deep to return for them. We have number 13 again, Caden Marsh, who had a good return last time. And can't read the number of the far return man. Definitely pretty stout, but that is not Burkhart. Looks like it might be number 4, Reese Willis, the senior wide receiver who was one of the key players that we talked about. We got a flag from almost the very back judge here. And a couple of flags out.
Interesting. It didn't seem like anything even happened.
Will Johnson pointing at himself like, did I make a mistake here? I don't think you can make a mistake there as the kicker. And I don't know what the call is. The Vikings subbing off one man for another, so they didn't have too many players on the field. And now they're marching back 15 yards. So, everybody up in the booth kind of has looks of surprise on their faces. No one knows what just happened.
Interesting.
Will Johnson, either way, on the kickoff from the 35-yard line, now other than the 40, and approaches the ball and boots this one. This time, kind of a pooch kick to the right side. That's just going to work its way out of bounds. Not going to get much check out of that football with this wet grass. And the Trojans are going to go ahead and take over on offense once again. And if you're the Vikings here, you've got to look to try to just try to bottle up Burkhart a little bit on this drive as he has ran at will this evening.
Yeah, there's a couple of different things you can do. You bring your safeties down a little bit more and kind of press your corners. There's a couple of different options. You know, you never know if Coach Sam wants to really change the game plan until going into halftime. So we'll kind of see what happens.
Yeah, and it hasn't been outside runs. It's been all up the middle for Burkhart as he'll bruise you. And I don't know if that's Burkhart in the game right now at the running back position. It does not look like it is.
You wonder if he maybe got a little shaken up when he scored that touchdown. He kind of fell on his helmet funny.
And it's going to be Ryder Sawyer out of the gun, though. That back in the backfield to his left. He's going to turn and hand it up the middle to him and still fighting for solid yards. And let's see if we can get a number read on that one. Maybe it was Sawyer. Their numbers just are really difficult to read here.
You got those really black jerseys, and then you got dark red numbers. Yeah.
And thin white piping, but it's pretty dark here. The field's not too bright this evening, so that's not a great combination for these numbers to be easier to read. But it was Burkhart, in fact, in the game for the Trojans. So 38 seconds left here in the first quarter, though. 14-7 is the score. Sawyer's going to be out of the gun. Burkhart to his right. He's going to get the snap, turn, hand it off the right, up the gut to the right side, making people miss left and right, but brought down by Jackson Chang as he just kind of twirls him around like a dance move a couple times. And Jackson Chang, much smaller than Burkhart there, but able to sling him down well. Good team tackling there. I mean, you know he's going to break a couple of tackles. You know he might break that first or second, but, you know, always having those extra players come down and finish the tackle.
Yeah, and it was Jackson Chang. I mean, a lot of Vikings who got there first. Jackson Chang kind of broke out and got it to tackle on his own there, but that will do it for the first quarter here in Douglas High School. Vikings out in front 14-7. Trojans have the ball and are moving it, though, here. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break ourselves, though, and be back here on Coast Radio Sports after this.
You're listening to exciting Siuslaw Athletics, proudly supported by Chad E. Clement DDS and Grocery Outlet of Florence.
Second quarter about to be underway here in Winston, Oregon. Trojans offense moving the ball again, and it's been a pretty even game, I'd say, here. Both offenses kind of moving the ball at will. Vikings have only had the ball once, however, with the Trojans are on their third possession. And I'd say the big thing to note, two big plays for the Vikings so far. First one, obviously, got to talk about the 90-yard pick six from Tom Morgan. Pretty sure he's an interception each game this season. And then Jericho Lake finding Tom Morgan, once again, over the top for about a 30-yard completion in stride after Lake lost his footing. It was a great throw and catch. And Trojans are now driving from all right to left. Empty backfield this time for the Trojans, first time of the evening, as Ryder Sawyer is back there by himself. Two receivers to the near side, two to the far side, looking to pass it. It's a design keeper and looks to throw automatically and then just keeps it himself. And he was met right there at the line of scrimmage, but these guys have just been tough for the Vikings to bring down.
It's almost like they got some kind of slippery thing on them and they just can't get a hold.
Yeah, they rubbed themselves with mud before this one because the Vikings have not been able to get much of a grasp on these ball carriers for the Trojans. And Ryder Sawyer gets the play call from his offensive coordinator here on the near sideline. We're up in the booth in Trojans territory, and they've been very inviting to us this evening. So great crowd here. And Sawyer's going to be out of the gun. Burkhart in the backfield with him. Two receivers to the near side, two to the far side. He's going to turn, hand it. That's Burkhart up the middle. Once again, he's just barreling his way. It's about a 10, 11-yard carry. That's going to be enough for a first down there. That ball is going to be now spotted in Viking territory on the 39-yard line.
Man, I don't know what else to say about Burkhart. I mean, he just keeps running. He's probably averaging around 7 yards per carry right now.
And I don't know if the listeners at home happened to watch the Thursday night football game last night or if they were doing that while they were watching the point or listening to the point after, but Cam Scataboo, the running back for the New York Giants, runs very similar to Burkhart here.
That is a really good comparison, yeah.
And it's going to be two receivers to the near side, two to the far side. Sawyers are going to be in the backfield. Right behind is Burkhart. He's got pressure in his face. He's scrambling around looking to find a receiver. He's got one open and just kind of off target there. And you can't blame him as he was rolling to his left and kind of in a hurry there as a lot of Viking pressure was there in his face and just a little off kilter there as he's unable to connect with this intended target.
For a second, I thought he was going to take it himself, kind of get a couple yards there.
It looked like he would have, but out of a guy that's a dual threat, it's never a bad thing for a guy to keep his eyes downfield, just was unable to connect there. And could it have been a better idea? Maybe, but you like to see your quarterback trying to make things happen through the air as well. Sawyer's going to be out of the gun. Burkhart in the backfield with him to his right. Two receivers to the near side, two to the far side as Burkhart shifts to Sawyer's left now. And Sawyer gets the low snap, throws it to the flat this time. That's going to be number three, Nalo Driscoll with the catch. There's a couple of Vikings trying to bring him down, but Nalo doing a really good job of keeping his feet underneath him. And this grass is slippery, and the Trojans have been able to just keep turning their feet somehow.
Yeah, not a bad play of Douglas there at all. Just a little surprising me. They're really trying to get this pass game going, it seems like.
Yeah,
the run has been working so well.
And it's one of the things is you can't be a one-dimensional offense, and I think the Trojans are realizing that. If you hand the ball to Burkhart every single play, it's going to start being sniffed out. So Trojans trying to work in the air game here, though, so that's going to be a third and about six. Ball spotted on the 36-yard line. And it's going to be out of the gun for Sawyer. Burkhart in the backfield with him. He's going to turn, hand it off up the middle to him. And one of the shorter gains for Burkhart this evening, but still able to get a couple out of it. So that's going to bring up a fourth and four for the Trojans. And obviously, we still have 10 minutes and 26 seconds left in this football game, but this feels like the biggest play of his game so far.
Definitely feels like this is going to be one of the bigger plays coming into the night.
And one of those questions, Trojans have been able to pick up 4 yards pretty consistently on the ground. So now all of a sudden you weigh the odds of, are they going to be playing the pass and we should just hand it off up the middle again? Or do you look to make something happen through the air? And we'll find that out here in just a second. Sawyer is going to be out of the gun again. Burkhart to his left. He's going to be looking to pass. Quick pass to the left side. Slant route. Caught in stride. Breaking a tackle and gone. Number 13. Bars. Sorry for the background noise here. We are under two PA announcers. And that was Rowdy Flyer, the sophomore in coverage. And he was in good coverage, wrapped him up, and he wasn't able to bring him down as Marsh did a good job of keeping his legs going and breaks one free for a touchdown on 4th and 4. And Rowdy did nothing wrong there. It was just unable to bring him down. And now on to kickoff for the Trojans is going to be Landon Perez, the senior wide receiver slash kicker. And good snap, good hold. And again, that evens this thing up at 14-all. So 9 minutes and 46 seconds left here in the second quarter. We got a ball game on our hands here at Douglas High School. Trojans just tied at 14-14. We're going to go ahead and take a quick 30-second break and be back here on Coast Radio Sports.
Shout out to RE/MAX South Coast Real Estate and Alan Twombly of H&R Block. Thanks for supporting Viking Sports on Coast Radio.
Welcome back to Douglas High School. We have a football game on our hands, folks. As we have 14-14 with the score. Trojans just put together a great drive there, scoring on a 4th and 4. And the Vikings looking to take over on offense for the second time this evening. And Caleb just said it. This is a very committed crowd here, doing a good job of cheering on this home team. And the band has really set the tone for everybody here this evening. And on the kickoff again is Landon Perez. And he's going to go ahead and boot this thing down the left side. No one there to get it, but it's going to stay inbounds. And I believe that's Rowdy Thraw on the return man. Kind of stumbles and looks to cut up field, keeping his knee off the ground. And I consider that a good return for Rowdy Thraw. He did not expect that ball to be coming and just stopping to his right there. And a good job by him of just not letting it sit there, because that's a live ball.
Yeah, that was a good squib kick there. You don't see those very often anymore, and just kind of got all the way down the 5-yard line.
And good job there by the special teams for the Trojans, not wasting that good kickoff as they tackled him after about a gain of 6 or 7. And the Vikings now taking over on offense. Jericho Lake and the Vikings break the huddle. In the backfield with Lake is going to be Will Johnson, Tom Morgan to the near side, bunch formation to the far side with Franzoni, Caleb Gray, and Jackson Chang. Calling for the snap is Lake. He's going to turn, hand it. That's going to be up the middle. Will Johnson with a head of steam. And is upended after about a 2, maybe 3-yard gain. We'll call it a 3-yard gain there. As the Vikings now face a 2nd and 7. 9 minutes and 24 seconds left in the second quarter.
Really?
Go ahead, Garrett.
Very interested to see if the Vikings maybe air the ball out a little bit more like they did in that last drive.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to tell kind of what the game plan was going into the game, because the Vikings struck pretty quickly. And a lot of bunches and trips formations for the Vikings early, though, which they work in a little bit, but it's not their go-to. This evening it has been, however, and it's going to be trips to the near side. And Lake's going to be looking to throw. He's got a design screen. And I believe that is Tom Morgan down the far sideline. He's got a head of steam into full speed and is brought out of bounds. Flipping the field is Tom Morgan.
Tom Morgan, have yourself a game, man.
And he's a little bit slow to get up on that far sideline, still on his back end, as he took a pretty good shot down the far sideline. And we're going to go ahead, though, and take a quick 30-second break, though, and give them a second here on Coast Radio Sports.
Supporting businesses like Regency Florence and Three Rivers Casino Resort help us bring you every exciting minute on Coast Radio.
Welcome back. The Vikings on offense. Ball spotted on about the 30-yard line after Tom Morgan had a 50-yard screen play. Out of the gun is Jericho Lake, bunch formation to the near side. One back in the backfield, and Will Johnson, he's going to turn, hand it. That's going to be Will Johnson looking for space on the right side.
upended after a good gain there. And not going to be enough for a first down, but either way, Vikings are going to be facing about a second and two here. A long, long one.
I want to go back to that screen play. That was absolutely textbook how you want a screen pass to go.
Yeah, it was trips to the near side, which had all the defense kind of thinking something was going to come here as mostly came that way as well. And then all of a sudden, Tom Morgan was on the left side for a design screen. It worked out beautifully.
All in front of him.
Good news for the Vikings, though, is Tom Morgan's back in the game. Jericho Lake out of the gun. Bunch formation to the near side. Will Johnson in the backfield with him. Snaps grabbed and given to Will Johnson as he barrels his way up the middle. That's going to be enough for a first down as he gains about 5, maybe 6 yards there on second and one.
You'll love to see Vikings getting it done both on the ground and through the air.
Most definitely. And 7.5 minutes left here. Douglas High School, 14-14 is the score. It's been a really, really good ball game so far. Hasn't been much of a defensive battle outside of Tom Morgan's pick six. Both offenses moving the ball well this evening. And, gosh, it's so hard to see into that huddle with the big men front five up there. Colin Barnett and Owen Burt doing a good job of shadowing that entire huddle. Jericho Lake's going to be out of the gun. Bunch formation to the near side. Will Johnson to the backfield. Tom Morgan split out to the far side. And Lake gets the snap. He's going to turn, fake the handoff. It's going to be Caleb Gray with the sweep around to the outside. It's a fake to Will Johnson. Will Caleb with a head of steam. And we got a late flag thrown in. Caleb Gray just gets back to about the line of scrimmage on that one as they fake the handoff off the right to Will Johnson and handed it to Caleb Gray, who came in motion.
Yeah, good job by Gray getting out of that first tackle. It would have been a little bit of a loss in the backfield.
And we'll see what the call is here out of the Zebras. And a personal foul, a face mask, called against the Trojans. They didn't signal who it was called against, but I just assume so. They can't happen against the offense, but they're going to move that thing half the distance to the goal. Ball's going to be spotted. Gosh, these markers are so hard to see. I mean, they're pretty much in a field out there with not much of any lines at all down in that part of the football field. We'll call it the 10-yard line. And so Vikings now facing, so it wasn't half the distance. They just moved it 5 yards. Interesting. So first and five now for the Vikings. And Lake's going to be under center now with two backs in the backfield in Lake and or Johnson and Chang. And he's going to turn, hand it up the middle. It's going to be Will Johnson pushing his rear end as Jericho Lake, the quarterback. And Will Johnson's going to get to the line to gain. We'll see what the refs go ahead and signal here. And no sign yet as they're going to mark him about 6 inches short of the line to gain. So it's going to bring up about a second and a foot for the Vikings. And Vikings huddled up now, knocking on the door of the Trojans. 14-14 is the score. 5 minutes and 45 seconds left in this football, or sorry, in this half. Boy, you'd be on the road early this evening if there was only 5.5 minutes left in this one. Jericho Lake under center once again. Chang and Johnson in the backfield. Two tight ends in tight. And kind of a hard count and a delayed snap. All the offensive linemen sitting there as the center was the only one to move. Lake did a good job of realizing that, hey, I got the football in my hands. Maybe I should move forward.
Yeah, looks like maybe a little bit of miscommunication on the snap count there.
And kind of just slow moving here out of the referees here. No signal of what's going on, but we got a timeout by the Vikings. So we're going to go ahead and take 30 seconds to be back here on Coast Radio Sports.
Shout out to BJ's Ice Cream and Folio Logging Incorporated. Thanks for supporting Viking Sports on Coast Radio.
Welcome back to Douglas High School. Just missed a play there, but it was third and one. Jericho Lake kept it himself with the quarterback sneak gains just enough to get a first down. Now the Vikings are facing a first and goal from about the 4-yard line.
You got to love it when you're this close and you reset the chain.
Oh, man. First and goal from the 4 feels good. And Jericho Lake's going to be out of the gun once again. Bunch formation to the near side. Will Johnson lined up in the backfield with him. Takes a snap. He's going to hand it to Will Johnson once again. Will Johnson getting a push from the offensive line. Breaks to the outside, down the right side, and in for a touchdown. And referee's blowing this with a hold. Wow, that was a late call as Will Johnson had just all but scored as that referee blew it and said there was a hold. So That's not what you want there. We're just talking about how first and goal from the four feels good. Now all of a sudden you're going to be facing a first and goal from about the 14-yard line if you're the Vikings.
A little announcer jinx there, huh?
And they're going to say the 13-yard line, so. And marches them back 10 yards there. First and goal now from about the 13. Maybe the, oh my goodness, the 10.
These are hard lines.
Now, there's, I mean, there's absolutely no line at that part of the field. I wouldn't even call it a line at that point. But Lake's going to be out of the gun. Trips formation to the far side. Chang in the backfield with him. He's going to fake the handoff to Chang. Hiddesy throws to the flat. Will Johnson out there in space, making people miss him left and right. Either way, Will Johnson says whether it's 4 yards or 14, I'm going to punch this thing in for six as the Vikings go out in front 20-14.
But the elusiveness that Will runs with is just crazy. Just swerving and finding the holes to get through. Just absolute great running there by Will Johnson.
Johnson slithers his way into the end zone. Had a serpentine to get through there of defensive players for the Trojans and is able just to juke left and right, make a couple people miss and break one for a 14-yard touchdown. So, you know, you get in for six and all of a sudden you got 10 more yards in the stat book as it, instead of a 4-yard touchdown, it's a 14.
Vikings, I'm getting my touchdown either way.
Vikings lining up for two now. Lake's going to be under center. Two backs in the backfield. Gets a snap. He's going to turn, hand it. That's Jackson Chang this time. He's got blocking out in front of him, and he is tackled. But they're going to say it's just enough for the two-point conversion. So now the Vikings looking at a 22-14 lead over the Douglas Trojans here in 4 minutes and 16 seconds left in the second quarter. We're going to go ahead and take a break and be back here on Coach Radio Sports.
Supporting businesses like Grocery Outlet Florence and Chad E. Clement DDS. Help us bring you every exciting minute on Coast Radio.
And can't hear if we're back here. The band is just blaring away and banging away on their drums, doing an incredible job this evening. It sounds like we are back, though. Vikings just put together a great drive offensively, punching it in from 14 yards out as Jericho Lake took a shot as he threw that football to the flat. Will Johnson able to complete it on the receiving side and takes it in for six. And then Jackson Chang punches it in on the ground for the two-point conversion.
Yeah, where'd they get that ball? I mean, the 15-yard line?
Yeah.
What a great drive by Sayusa.
And Will Johnson walks his steps off now. It's going to be back deep to return for the Trojans. Number four, Reach Willis to the near side. Number 13, Caden Marsh to the far side. That's going to be Marsh catching it on the fly at about the 15-yard line. Marsh has got good blocking out in front of him and tackled at about the 35-yard line. Is Caden Marsh on the tackle there? Is Leighton Wiebolt. And last week, Wiebolt was wearing number 12. Threw me off as Bryce Stibbett is on my roster as number 12. So Wiebolt back in the number 21 uniform this week. And Trojans, again, take over on offense on the 35-yard line. No defense has done much stopping outside of Tom Morgan's interception here. It's been all offense this evening as both teams have kind of just moved the ball at will so far. And it's going to be Sawyer out of the gun. He's going to turn and hand it, and that's going to be the big man, Burkhart, with a head of steam. Gets about 9, maybe 10 yards on that carry.
Man. Still making the Sayusa defensive line work.
And I said it earlier, Will Johnson's a little bit faster than Burkhart, but I mean, Burkhart, for his size, has got some wheels on him. My goodness, it's just a combination that just makes the Vikings defense feel some pain over the course of four quarters.
You also got to highlight Douglas's offensive line here.
Oh, yeah. Doing a good job getting a good push up front, but they're going to mark that thing short. To me, it looks like the nose of the football is past the sticks. Either way, it's right in front of us here. They're going to say he's about got a second and about a centimeter as Sawyer's out of the gun. Burkhart to his right, two receivers to the near side. He's going to turn and hand it.
Wow.
And that's why it's important not to give him the first down there if you're the Vikings, because the Vikings, for the first time this evening, tackling Burkhart in the backfield as he gets almost back to the line of scrimmage, though. So now instead of third and a centimeter, now they're facing a true third and one.
Yeah, that's the best the Sayusa defensive line has done against
Burkhart. And if you're the Vikings, you know, third down, you think they aired out, but no, it's Burkhart all the way because we're only a yard away from converting here. That or Sawyer keeping it himself. Two receivers to the near side, two to the far side. Burkhart and Sawyer in the backfield. He's going to get the snap, turn, hand it. That's going to be Burkhart making people miss. And this time it's not lower in the shoulder. It's juking a player in the backfield for the Vikings and sidestepping him, and that's going to be enough for a first down as Bryce Branzoni comes up and makes the tackle.
Yeah, he's shown us he has not just the juking and breaking tackles. He also has a little bit of, you know, juke.
Yeah, and first and 10 now for the Trojans. It was a hard-fought yard, but they'd ended up getting it. And like Caleb just said, this offensive line for the Trojans has done a good job this evening. And Ryder Sawyer is going to be now out of the gun. Two receivers to the near side, two to the far side. He's looking to pass now, looking to his right, looking to his left, looks back to the right. He's got pressure in his face. That was Jacob Mann. And he's going to go ahead and keep it himself. He gets the edge down the right sideline and gets enough for a first down. Good job by Ryder Sawyer. Really was patient waiting for the play to develop and a receiver to get open. And it, once Jacob Mann broke through that offensive line, decided just to keep it himself.
Yeah, he's really showing us he is a dual-threat quarterback right there. He can run up his legs and air out the ball a little bit, too.
And Nick Johnson, the defensive coordinator on the far sideline for the Vikings, signaling into the Vikings defense, you know he's got to be scratching his head over how to bring down Burkhart. Two receivers to the near side, two to the far side for the Trojans. Snaps taken and handed up the middle once again to Burkhart. And a good job of getting about four or five tacklers to the ball that time is the Vikings. Coach Nick Johnson's got to love to see that, and it's going to be about a gain of two, maybe, or we'll call it a three-yard gain for Burkhart.
You also like to see the clock winding down here because then you can't just keep running the ball as we get shorter on time here.
Yeah, 2 minutes and 11 seconds left in the second quarter. Jaden Burkhart's been the workhorse this evening for the Trojans. Two receivers to the near side, two to the far. Ryder Sawyer in the gun, Burkhart to his left. He's going to turn, hand it to Burkhart up the middle and brought down. Jackson Chang. Nick Johnson dials up the blitz at the right time as Jackson Chang shot up the B gap there, it looked like, and is able to get Burkhart down in the backfield. That is a loss of three.
Perfect timing there, too. It looked like he just handed the ball off, too.
And it wasn't a come up and hit Burkhart for all he's worth kind of tackle there. Jackson Chang just got wrapped around his legs and just did not let go. And it's going to be third and 13 now. Two receivers to the near side, two to the far side in tight. He's going to send one in motion to the far side. He's going to fake the pitch to him, looking to roll to the left. He's got a receiver out and just overthrows him. And that's going to be number three, Nalo Driscoll, the intended receiver there, and that's just the second time this evening Driscoll and Sawyer haven't been able to connect on a deep ball because Driscoll was open.
Sawyer definitely has the arm power. He maybe lacks a little bit in accuracy, overthrowing a couple wide receivers today.
And I think that accuracy just came from the fact that he's a right-handed quarterback rolling to his left. If I'm a coach there, ball spotted right in the middle of the field, I'm going to try to get him moving to the right side as it's much easier for a right-handed quarterback to throw while they're moving to the right. But the Trojans are staying on the field. Minute 10 left here. Fourth and 13 they're facing. Sawyer's going to be out of the backfield and out of the gun. He's looking to pass again. He fakes it to the right, throws it to the right, and he's got a receiver. That's Driscoll. What a throw and shot. He heard you talking about accuracy. He just proved it. My goodness, hitting it Driscoll and stride.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to stop talking when it comes to some of these situations here. What a perfect throw on the run, throw and catch on the run there.
And that was ball spotted on the 50-yard line. Now, all of a sudden, if you're the Trojans, ball spotted on about the 3-yard line, give or take, maybe the 5. Can't read number any skinny lines out here this evening. And a strike on 4th and 13. The confidence in your team to throw that 45 seconds now. Got to move the ball here. And they're going to get a dead ball thrown there. I believe it's a false start.
Huge.
Timeout. Okay, timeout taken. I believe that was the Vikings taking it, their third. And we're going to go ahead and do the same thing here, though, and be back here after this on Coast Radio Sports.
Our thanks to Alan Twombly of H&R Block and RE/MAX South Coast Real Estate for supporting Viking Sports on Coast Radio.
Welcome back to Douglas High School. We have an absolute football game on our hands so far this evening. Vikings out in front 22-14, but the Trojans knocking on the door here. Ball spotted on about the 4-yard line. 41 seconds left in this half. Burkhart and Sawyer in the gun. He's going to turn, hand it. That's going to be, you know, he's going to keep it himself. Breaking through that line is Caleb Gray, able to get his arms around Sawyer and sling him down for about a one-yard loss. And the Trojans are going to go ahead and stop the clock, take a timeout themselves. And we'll go ahead and keep it here ourselves here, Caleb.
That's a huge goal line defensive stop there.
And I'm not surprised they decided to run it there, as 45 seconds is plenty of time to go out there and punch it in from 4 yards out, especially with the way the Trojans have been running the ball. But Caleb Gray broke through the offensive line and was able to get down the quarterback who decided to keep it himself there. And that's a hard read as a quarterback, because the D-line did a good job of really collapsing on that offensive line there.
Definitely there. You wonder, you know, maybe they didn't pick him up on the blocking assignment there for Douglas.
And I could be mistaken. We don't have anything to signify it here or signal it how many timeouts are remain for each side, but I believe the Trojans have 2 timeouts in their back pocket here, and the clock operator here to my left gives me a good nod here as that is correct. So 2 timeouts in the back pocket for the Trojans, so they can keep it on the ground, and call another timeout if you want, but now it comes to the decision time if you're the Trojans and head coach Nick Garcia. And they're going to go ahead 2 receivers to the far side, 2 to the near side, and either they're going to turn and do just that, hand it. No, look at it, passes. It was an RPO, run pass option. Had a receiver down there to the left side. Believe that was number 83 for the Trojans.
Landon Hinshaw
just overthrew him, hit off his fingertips, and the Vikings taking a sigh of relief there.
Yeah, not a horrible throw, just on the outskirts of his fingertips there. One hand can tight reel it in there.
So now 29 seconds left on the clock. 3rd and goal from the 8-yard line for the Trojans now. And Trojans break the huddle. It's going to be 2 receivers to the near side, 2 to the far side again. Ryder Sawyer is going to be working out of the gun with Burkhart lined up directly behind him. And scanning before he takes the snap. He takes it, looking to pass to the left. Decides to pump fake it and keep it himself. Is Sawyer. He's got kids blocking out in front of him by the receiver. Charging ahead with a full head of steam, but he's brought down by a handful of Vikings, and that's going to spot the ball at about the 5-yard line. So now,
one of the bigger defensive plays coming up here, Ryan.
I hate to knock it, but Trojans are now 2 for 2 on 4th down. One of them was a 4th and 4. They turned into a touchdown. Next was a 4th and 13, and they hit a strike to Nalo Driscoll. And it's going to be 4th down now. 18 seconds left, 19 seconds, as it's 18.9 on the clock here. And it's gut check team for both these teams.
Yeah, definitely.
22-14 is the score. Trojans looking to change that here quickly.
Was it their last time out?
That was their last time out.
Yeah.
No, sorry, that was their second, as the play before that was incomplete and stopped the clock. And
really curious to see what they're dialing up play-wise here. Also, how useful are they dial something up defensively here.
And Vikings defense looking to figure things out here now on 4th and 5. And it's going to be an empty backfield for Ryder. Sawyer takes the snap, looking to pass, looking left, looking right. Rosie, he's got a speed. And hit all of this on his side. And usually that's me with a long touchdown call, but that was the PA announcer doing an incredible impression of impersonation there of Bruce Buffer.
Give that man a raise.
And that's a touchdown for the Trojans there. 4th and 5 they were facing on the 5-yard line, or 4th and goal on the 5-yard line. A speed from Ryder Sawyer, confidence back there as he just sat in the pocket and decided to throw it to Nalo Driscoll.
Just an absolute bullet.
And now come out in a kind of a barn door formation for the PAT. And looks like they may actually go ahead and keep it as they send a receiver in formation or in motion. And looking for a receiver is Driscoll catching it. Oh my goodness. Sorry, I was doing a lot of moving parts there. I kind of just lost what I was saying, but Ryder Sawyer throws it to his intended receiver, and laying out there is he, and puts his hands on the football, and Keith comes down with it. So 22-22, we're tied up here with 14 seconds left in the half. We're going to go ahead and take a quick 30-second break, though, and be back here on Coast Radio Sports.
Viking Sports on Coast Radio, supported by Regency Florence and Three Rivers Casino Resort.
And welcome back to Douglas High School. Trojans just tied things up here with a good touchdown on fourth and goal from the five, and then all of a sudden run kind of an awkward barn door formation, which typically at this level you don't see work on extra points, and all of a sudden it works for them, and it's a two-point conversion that they successfully convert. So 22-22 tied up here at Douglas. Trojans kicking off to the Vikings with 14 seconds left in the half, and just jumping on top of it is Will Johnson. So only about a second comes off the clock here, and now it's decision time. Do you try to air it out and get some points here, or do you just run it and get to the half and kind of reassess what you're doing here, Caleb?
Well, if you are going to air it out, I mean, I don't see anyone else to go to other than Tom Morgan right now. Get one deep shot in. If that doesn't work, you know, then I'd maybe just take a knee and go in half and kind of assess the first half, Coach Spammy to his team, and see what changes need to be made.
And if you are going to air it out, you got to make sure you're not putting that football in harm's way. You don't want to give the Trojans the ball back here. And it's going to be late out of the gun formation, though. So looks like they may go ahead and throw it here as Jackson Chang's lined up to his right. Two receivers from the near side, two to the far side, gets the snap, looking to throw, in fact, and he throws it to Tom Morgan, who's hit and completes the ball over the top and up for about a 20-yard gain. And clock has stopped here. And the Vikings on the ball quickly, 4 seconds, 3 seconds, and spiking the ball is the Vikings. So going to go ahead and stop the clock with one second left, and we got a false start here. So
those are the hard plays to do at the high school level. Get in the ball real quick, spike it. I mean, those are things you have to practice because they don't often happen a lot at this level. But, I mean, right there, kind of backfired for the false start.
And 1.9 seconds on the clock. Ball spotted on the 50-yard line. So now we're going to see the arm strength here of the Jericho Lake. Vikings spiked it with enough time on the clock.
Well, they're just going to go in the halftime, huh?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Looks like there was time on the clock.
There were 2 seconds on the 1.9 on the clock, and Vikings spiked it, which doesn't take 2 seconds, and they're going to go ahead and say this thing is going to halftime. So Sam Johnson out there at midfield, not happy, accompanied by the ball boy. So we're going to go ahead and take a break here and be back here on Coast Radio Sports for the Les Schwab Tire Halftime Show.
Stay tuned for the Florence Les Schwab Tire Halftime Show on KCST-FM Florence. Viking Sports on Coast Radio, supported by Folio Logging Incorporated and BJ's Ice Cream.
Welcome to the Les Schwab Tire Halftime Report, and pulling it up here. And an odd ending there to the half as the Vikings had 2 seconds with already lined up in formation to spike the ball. I thought they got it off with about a second left, and the referees go ahead and decide that they didn't. Coach Sam Johnson was not happy at all as he was at the 50-yard line barking at them. And either way, we're here at the halftime show. So, sorry, my goodness, making mistakes here left and right, and this thing's happened. So
I'd say for the folks listening at home, this is a game you want to definitely stay in tune for. 22-22, and just both offenses have been amazing. And then one amazing defensive play there by Tom Morgan for the 90-yard interception. Like Ryan said, had how many interceptions in his last few games?
I think he's had one each game, to be honest with you. But we're going to go ahead and get this thing kicked off as I finally found my notes here. But we're going to go ahead and take a look around the Sagesaw Athletics this evening and check in on how some of the other Vikings teams are doing so far up to this point. We'll start with Sagesaw Volleyball, who now sit at 5-10 on the season and are still looking to find their rhythm in league play. The Vikings have started 0-6 in league competition, but they'll have a chance to turn things around Tuesday night at home where they take on the Coquille Red Devils. First service set for 6 p.m. at Glenn Butler Court. Over on the pitch, the Sagesaw girls soccer team is now 5-5-1 overall after a hard-fought 2-1 loss over the to Pleasant Hill yesterday. They'll be looking to bounce back Monday evening on the road at Crestwell against the Bulldogs with kickoff set for 6:30 p.m. The Lady Vikings are right in the middle of the pack in league play, currently holding a 4-5-1 record there. On the boys' side of the pitch, the soccer team has been rolling. The Vikings now have won 5 consecutive matches and are climbing the league standings. They'll look to keep that momentum going Tuesday night at Hans Peterson Field when they host the Pleasant Hill Billies. Kickoff for that one is set for 6:30 p.m. The Vikings currently sit in second overall in league play with a record of 5-1. Meanwhile, the Sisalok cross-country team was in action today at the 5th annual Rose City Championship. Results for that one will be online. I have yet to have the opportunity to pull them up. So either way, with the Vikings' history and how well they seem to run, I'm sure they did just fine and fared well out there. But obviously, wish the best to that team. And before we get back to the Sisalok game, we're going to talk about the college side of football tomorrow. Tomorrow, the 3rd-ranked Oregon Ducks will be hosting the 7th-ranked Indiana Hoosiers at Autzen Stadium, with ESPN's College Game Day making their trip to Eugene. Kickoff for that one is set for 12:30 p.m. Up north in Corvallis, the Oregon State Beavers will also be in action hosting the Wake Forest Demon Deacons, with kickoff set for that one at 12:30. So let's go ahead and that's a wrap-up for Sisalok Athletics and kind of what the Vikings are doing around other sports. But let's talk about football right now, Caleb. It's been a action-packed football game, and I'd say this has been the most even football game all season as both teams really have just moved the ball well on the offensive side of the ball. No defenses have really been able to get out there and make a true key stop outside of, you can't skip over Tom Morgan's 90-yard interception, and yes, that's a big play defensively, but outside of that one play, the Trojans have been moving the ball very, very well so far.
Yeah, and you wonder what Sammy's going to go in, talk to the defensive line, talk to Nick Johnson, the defensive coordinator, in the locker room, and see what kind of changes he's going to make in the second half.
Yeah, and if you're Nick Johnson and Sam Johnson, the rest of his coaching staff, that one change you got to make is stopping the run.
Exactly.
You know, we knew that Ryder Sawyer going into this one was going to be able to get it down with both his arms and legs, and he's done just that this evening, Caleb. He's missed on a couple of open throws so far with a little bit too much steam behind the football, but him and number 3, Nala Driscoll, have been just on the same page all evening as they converted a 4th-and-13 on that final drive to extend it with about a 30-yard, 40-yard pass to Driscoll, and Trojans have looked good.
Yeah, and when Ryder Sawyer doesn't overthrow his guys, he's putting an absolute dot to his receivers. Bullet. I mean, putting it right where they can get it, and you know, that last touchdown pass he threw and the 2-point conversion, great throws.
Yeah, most definitely. We're going to go ahead, though, and take a break here and wet the whistle. My throat's drying out a little bit here at Douglas High School, but go ahead and stay with us here for the rest of this halftime show after this 60-second break here on Coast Radio Sports.
You're listening to the Florence Les Schwab Tire Halftime Report on KCST FM Florence. You're listening to exciting Sisalok Athletics, proudly supported by Chaddy Clement DDS and Grocery Outlet of Florence.
They're going to get it.
Welcome back to Douglas High School. This game right now and reminds me so much of the Brookings Harbor game last year where the Yankees-Dodgers World Series was going on up in the booth, and so many people were focused on that game playing on a laptop in the booth, and Bob was alongside me that one. Now you're alongside me, Caleb, and the Mariners are in the bottom of the tent with a runner on second tied 2-2 to extend their season. But anyway, let's get back to football. And something that's been important so far this evening has been that Trojans offensive line. And you cannot talk about that offensive line without bringing up number 67, Ollie Boyd. He is a massive human being and has done a good job out there. 6'2", 355 pounds, and he moves well.
He can move person very well, too.
And person is what he's done so far, as he's clogged things up there in the middle. He plays that right guard position, and, you know, he's done an incredible job there. Move people well for the Trojans. But let's talk about the Vikings side of the ball. Vikings figuring things out defensively here. Don't want to beat a dead horse there. But on the offensive side of the ball, what are you seeing, Caleb?
I'm seeing really good runs by Will Johnson, finding open holes, being elusive with the football, and you're seeing Tom Morgan make some good catches and plays. Lake Jericho definitely finding his Jericho Lake definitely finding finally feeling comfortable with that quarterback. Because I know I didn't really listen to the last two games, and but since I saw him in Cascade Catholic, he looks absolutely great.
Yeah, he definitely does. As Randy Pratis, a longtime State Club broadcaster, just texted Caleb here, and shout out to you, Randy. So, yeah, 355 pounds, and the Vikings have not been able to move him well, Randy. But I agree. Jericho Lake has looked so confident in that pocket this evening, and he's delivered some strikes, all of those being to Tom Morgan outside of that screen play, or sorry, outside of that throw to the flat to Will Johnson, which Will Johnson turned into a 14-yard touchdown. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this second half plays out here in Winston, Oregon. I honestly don't think this football field has a name to it. It should be Troy Polamalu Field. But we're going to go ahead and take a 60-second break and be back here after this here on Coast Radio Sports.
You're listening to the Florence Les Schwab Tire Halftime Report on KCST FM Florence. Shout out to REMAX South Coast Real Estate and Alan Twombly of H&R Block. Thanks for supporting Viking Sports on Coast Radio.
Welcome back to Douglas High School down here in Winston, Oregon. It is a pretty clear night here. I was expecting maybe some off and on showers this evening, but hasn't happened yet so far. 54 degrees right now. 52, or sorry, dropped to 52 now as I said that. And three and a half minutes left in halftime. And we've kind of had the opportunity to talk about a lot what we're seeing here with the Vikings being able to move the ball well offensively. Will Johnson making his presence felt. Jericho Lake doing a really good job there in at quarterback. And obviously Tom Morgan has had some very big plays on both sides of the football. One of those being a touchdown, but came on the defensive side of things with a 90-yard pick six. I'd say the play of the game so far.
Yeah,
as the Trojans were knocking on the door on their first possession, and Tom Morgan took the ball back 90 yards.
Only possession the Trojans haven't scored.
That's exactly correct. Both offenses, neither team has punted up to this point. Both teams have scored every time they've had the ball outside of the one. And the Vikings now back on the field, stretching and warming up. 2.5 minutes left in halftime. And it's a good football game here, Caleb.
Oh, definitely. I love these kind of games. The hard fought. It makes the win taste a little bit better, too, if you do come out on top.
And, first and foremost, the Vikings looking to make some shifts there, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Curious to see what they come out here and do. And honestly, you can make all the adjustments in the world, and Jaden Burkhart can go out there and still beat you with his feet because he has just been that type of running back, as he is a bruiser. If you're just tuning in, Jaden Burkhart's been the workhorse in this 22-22 football game. All evened up, and he has just been absolutely bruising the Vikings defensive line and linebackers as he just lowers his shoulder and will run right through you with a little regard. And it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun to watch. Ryder Sawyer for this Trojans team has done a good job at the quarterback position, not just with his feet, but through the air as well. We talked about it pregame show. He's a dual threat quarterback, and he's shown that here, Caleb.
Oh, yeah. When you see a designed quarterback run play, that's when you know, okay, you got a dual threat quarterback. You're not going to just make a run play for your quarterback if they can't run the ball.
Yeah, and only one real designed keeper, I'd say. Outside of that, he's been all reading the defense for the Vikings, and he's been reading it well as he's been deciding whether to pull it or hand it off to Burkhart. And I'd say overall he's done a good job with that. We're going to go ahead, though, take a quick 60-second break as there is a minute left in this halftime show and be back here on Coast Radio Sports.